Hi Jets fans, it's Dr. Emma here, and we're about to bring you our last preview pod of this season, previewing our round 27 game against Sydney FC at home. Nice to have our last game of the year at McDonald Jones Stadium. To do that, I have two of our regular panellists with me. First, I'd like to welcome Lukey.
Dr. Emma, how's it going?
Very well, thank you for asking. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad.
I'm surprised we've got three sober people on an Anzac Day. That's very un-Australian of all of us.
Well, that's all right. I got it. Supposed to have a game on this weekend, but we'll wait and see.
Ah, oh, saving yourself. And joining us, as well as Lukey, welcome Andy.
Hello, it's great to be here. I would have had more fun today, except working tomorrow and kind of looks a bit dodgy when you're like, oh, I have to have the day off. So I decided to behave myself.
Yeah, this has been a funny week of long weekends and public holidays and things.
Yes, definitely.
I think there's going to be a few sickies tomorrow that are going to look a bit sus.
A few allergies hidden in the area.
Well, there was all that smoke around from that controlled burn they're doing today.
Yeah, no, there was. That's right. I saw that driving through Qatar today. I was like, that's weird.
Yeah, it's
didn't realize all, that. Like
all the way from Waramai.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that on the news, so I was like, all right, there you go.
There you go.
I'm surprised there's stuff still to burn there, though, because that's, like, always on fire around that area. So what is still burning there?
Well, there is the question. Australian bush grows back. Anywho, well, that was a nice chat, but we'll do the actual opening question. The reason why I'm hosting today is because Ferns has gone off to see the Avengers movie that's just been released. And so my opening question for you all is probably a bit nerdy, but I think everyone likes the Avengers films. If you don't, there might be something wrong with you. Ask your friends. My question, boys. Luke, I'll have you first. Who is your favourite and who is your least favourite character from the Marvel Universe? But I do want to say no spoilers in revealing who these are if you've seen the recent film already.
Well, that's okay because I'm seeing it on Sunday. And I've already said that I'm avoiding social media as much as possible because I don't want spoilers. So far, so good. For me, my favourite would probably be the Black Panther. I really enjoyed that movie when it came out last year. And I'd say he's probably my favourite, despite the fact he's not been around as long as a lot of the other ones in the cinematic universe. Least favorite, I don't really know. Based on stupid things that happened in Infinity War, I want to say Peter from Guardians of the Galaxy, just because a lot of that was just stupid. And if he wasn't an idiot, this new movie wouldn't have been necessary.
You were so sweet that you struggled to find a least favorite. I was like, hands down, I've got a least favorite, but I have to ask a favorite so I don't sound like too much of a bitch.
Oh, I struggled.
Andy, who have you got? Favorite, least favorite?
See, this is where I have to be honest that I have never really gotten into like cartoons or anything like that. I think I was pretty deprived as a child or whatever and didn't really get into them. So I had to actually Google the list of who are like Marvel characters and then work out from there from the ones that I've heard of who is my most and least favorite. So
you've
I expect
films,
necessary
though.
Hate. Yeah, sure. but so hopefully this list that I went off was right, because I would say that my favorite is Ant-Man, because that's just cool that someone can do those kind of things and be small and fight things and whatnot. And my least favorite has to be Spider-Man, solely based off the movies, because I feel like once Tobey Maguire was no longer involved in it, it went downhill real quick. So that is my answer for this opening question.
Solid choices. Ant-Man made my short list of favorites as well. Quite like Ant-Man. Also very annoyed at Spider-Man, and also the fact there's so many goddamn Spider-Men. Like, how many of those movies are they going to make?
Yeah, it's worse than Shrek. Like, the stick, put it down.
Now we're reaching dangerous territory here. I don't want you bad-mouthing Shrek at all.
Even the last
original
one?
Shrek's fine. After that, no.
Concur.
Oh boy.
All right, I'm saving Shrek for another opening question. Let's not get too adversarial. My fave is going to be Captain Marvel. I was leaning towards Ant-Man, but then someone on Twitter today said, oh, Captain Marvel's that chick. And I was like, screw you. That's why I like her. She's the kid.
That was a really
chick.
Good movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie. But yeah. I like her because she's kind of normal. She's a normal person, but still a kick-ass chick, which is also, I guess, why I like Ant-Man. And my least favorite is hands down Iron Man. What a wanker. Like Dad said, if I met him in real life, I'd throw a drink on him.
Yeah, I think a lot of people like that.
Yeah, even if he was in the suit, short circuit that shit. Anyway, that's how I feel. Hope everyone is going out to see the new film because I've heard it's pretty kick-ass. Not funded in any way by whoever makes the Avengers movies, but I'm sure it's going to be grand. Let's talk about football, since that's what we're here for.
Football,
yay! Before we talk about the upcoming game, let's talk about the headline news of this week, which is officially the list of the players being released, has been released. This weekend, our final game will see off Ronny Vargas, Jair, Georgievski, Nick Cowburn, Jake Adelson, and Corbina Apia. All those players have been confirmed not to be re-signing. Some of them will get to play this week, some of them will not, and we'll talk about that. Boys, what I want to do is go through this list of our six players who are departing and just get your general feels on that situation. So, Andy, I'm going to start with you and Ronald Vargas. How do you feel about his departure?
So, with Ronny, when he first came on the scene, I thought, yeah, this is the guy that's going to be able to do so much for us. He was so good when he first came on the scene, but then obviously got that horrific injury, which ever since then, understandably, he just doesn't seem to go as hard, doesn't want to go into challenges, doesn't really want to chase the ball when he loses possession. It's just, you know, he tries the few little tricks that he knows will come off, but apart from that, he doesn't seem to want to progress much up the field or anything like that. So I think pre-injury, he was great. Post-injury, he has just sort of been a player that we've carried, and on the sort of marquee salary and whatnot that he's on, I feel that that money could be spent better elsewhere. And yeah, it sucks that he had his injury and that that led to him, in my opinion, losing a bit of confidence in his ability, or he was a bit unsure about going too hard. But in a professional sport where results are a big thing, do you want to have that kind of money invested in a player that's mentally maybe not too sure about what he can and can't do at the time being? So I think him departing and freeing up that money is a great idea at this point.
This is probably the big news. So, Luke, I'm going to ask you what you think. Do you agree with Andy, or do you think we should have kept him?
No, I completely agree. Basically, pretty much with everything Andy said, the first 2.5 games last season, I was of the same thought of, man, we've got a real gem here. Obviously, he had that injury up in Brisbane, but since he's come back, he's just not been the same player he was before then. He just doesn't seem to have the confidence that he used to have. I think it's done a real number on him mentally, that injury, which is understandable. But when you're a foreigner and you're on marquee wages, you know, you can't be getting carried by the team. There's been a number of times this year where we've played much better when he hasn't been on the field. For example, the 3-1 win against City at home, it was probably one of our best performances of the season. So, I like him, and he's contributed a few goals this year, but it's definitely not the performance that justifies marquee wages or really a visa spot when you have Aussie players who could do the same job.
Agreed. He's a daubs and stuff, but for the big bucks, we can do better. Apparently, he was our highest paid player, and he's definitely not our highest performing player. So, thanks, Ronnie. Bye,
I think
Ronnie.
We've seen as well that him and Dimi can't be in the same team together. We don't go well when they're both on the field. You know, Ronnie's in the centre spot, Dimi's out on the wing, and we just seem to struggle with that moving forward and everything. So if we had to choose between one of them, I'd be going with the Aussie player.
Yeah, no, fair call. Totally agree. All right, we're also losing Jair at the end of this season. Does anyone have strong feelings on Jair that they want to tell us about?
I do. I liked him. I think the best thing with him is obviously the passion he does show for the shirt when he scores. He's straight away off to the corner, kissing the badge, all that sort of thing. And whilst that could be for show, I don't really think it is with him. I think it's just genuine passion for the club and the chance that he was given. But when you have people like Joey Champness getting a full pre-season and hopefully remaining injury-free, is it worth wasting a visa spot on a player that is going to start from the bench just about every week? You know, and it isn't like he is the performer that comes off the bench and, you know, he's guaranteed to score. So to hold up that kind of spot and probably take a bit of money as well just makes it hard to retain him as likable as he is.
Yeah, I'm going to be a bit of a bitch again and say I think his passion when he scores is probably the fact he hasn't scored enough to be calm about it yet. So that's kind of the disappointing thing. He still celebrates like a little kid because, you know, he scored, what, twice? I'm probably being unkind, but I think, yeah, expected a lot more of him. Luke, you agree?
Yeah, definitely. Same thing as Ronnie. You know, he's a visa player, and with visa players, you expect that they're going to be better than any Australian player that you've got in the team. And he just hasn't been that this season. He's already been outscored by Joey, who's missed, what, over half a season with injury. You know, obviously, they're completely different players, but when you've got Aussie players who can do a job better than you, it's, you know, we aren't blessed with many visa spots. And when you have visas, you know, a limited number, you need to be able to get them right. You know, you look at the teams that win the league and everything, everyone contributes. They don't have any sort of visa players that really struggle throughout the season. So, you know, if we want to be serious and make finals and push for, you know, Asia again, we need to have players who are able to, you know, perform for us consistently throughout the season.
Indeed, indeed. And hopefully when these visa spots are freed up, they do then get filled with something a little bit more impressive next time. We've known for quite a while that Daniel Georgievski is heading off to play for the Wanderers next season. Interestingly, he doesn't get to play a farewell game like Vargas does. He's not even in the squad this week. Are we disappointed that we're losing Georgie, Luke?
You know what? I am a bit. He's probably been one of our most consistent players this year, which is, you know, funny given how many goals we've conceded and everything. But he, I think it is a loss. But in saying that, if we have Matt Miller come in and have the same sort of season individually as he's had this year, you know, I think it's a fairly decent trade-off. You can imagine that, you know, coming from Melbourne Victory, having just won the Joe Marsden medal, Georgievski was probably on a bit of coin. Obviously, you know, a lot of the argument is you get what you pay for, which was, you know, a lot of quality performances from Georgievski. But if we're able to get Matt Miller in, who does a very similar job performance-wise, it might be able to free up some money for us to spend elsewhere on the park.
Good point. You don't want oversaturation in positions. The fact that he's not getting to play this last game has made quite a few of the fans on social media a bit angry. He was very popular with fans. Andy, do you share that rage? Do you think that's warranted?
Yeah, I think I was more disappointed in him leaving when I found out that it was going to Western Sydney because it was talked about that it might have been the new Western Melbourne or Western United or whatever they're called. And I would have understood that because, you know, to be involved in a new team, he would have pretty solid connections in the Melbourne area because he was there for so long with Victory and achieved so much. But yeah, to go to Western Sydney, who are going through this whole rebuild again, sure, they've got a fancy new stadium, but it just seemed interesting. So yeah, I wonder if it was motivated in a way of he could go there for a bit better money, being that he'd be a, you know, senior player there that has a lot of experience and could sort of lead that rebuild. But yeah, it's interesting that he has taken that decision. And I think for him to be a fan favorite and then not get a send off makes you think that maybe there was a bit of bitterness to it, and maybe he went about it the wrong way or something. I'm not sure, but yeah, it just seems odd that others are getting the send off game and he's not. So I understand the rage of people.
Yeah, I was a bit sad about it, but then I thought about it, and, you know, international players, maybe that's a bigger deal. We'll all get to see Georgevski play again. I don't think Vargas is moving to another A-League team, so I guess that makes sense when you think about it logically. The one I am sad, though, who's not getting a send-off game, and I do hope gets picked up by another A-League team, is Nick Cowburn. I think it's very sad to see him leaving the club. I think he has a lot of potential and was a great utility player. And it was interesting to see Griffo in the media saying, oh, yeah, we love him, but we just have saturation in his position, which I think is interesting given his ability to play numerous positions. Luke, are you as devo as I am about losing Cowby?
Probably not as devo as you. It is disappointing. You know, we've got a local player who's spent his youth career with the club. I tend to agree with you. I don't think we'll see Cowby back in the NPL. I'm fairly certain he'll get picked up by maybe Central Coast or, you know, maybe Brisbane or even the new Melbourne team. I think he's definitely got the quality to play in A-League. You said yourself, he's probably his biggest strength is he is able to get into different. He's able to play in a number of different positions, as we've seen throughout the time in our while his time at the Jets. But in saying that, I'm sort of looking at the squad and everything, and you could sort of see the writing was on the walls. He hasn't been getting consistent game time, let alone even, you know, consistent spots on the bench. So, you know, it's probably in his best interest to move on. You know, he captained the under 23 squad. So, I'm fairly certain we'll be able to see him in the A-League again.
I really do hope so. Andy, I'm going to squeeze these last two together because I don't think there's too much to say about them. Adelson, or Adelson, however I meant to say it, and disappointed that he hasn't played enough that I've even had to learn how to pronounce Quibena APR correctly. No surprises that they're both being released?
Not at all, but one thing with Cowburn just before moving on, I don't know if Luke has hacked my computer or something, because all the notes that I had for that was... I could see him getting snapped up by another team, but sadly that would be either Western United, Wellington, Brisbane, or dare I say it, the A-League graveyard, also known as Central Coast.
Great minds think alike. He better not go to the coast, though.
Yes. Adelson, yeah, who is he? Is he a new player we signed? Obviously I know who he is, but we haven't really seen him. And then that one game that we did see him, he, from memory, looked like he got hurt or something, trying to remember exactly what happened. But
yeah, we thought he'd done his knee. He did stay on for the rest of that game, didn't play very well, but then did his knee good and proper in a youth league game shortly after.
Yeah. So to have someone like that that is so injury prone, whilst it's rough for him because he's still pretty young, I think that, yeah, we just don't need, when we have people coming through the youth setup and whatnot, it's not a spot that we can just have someone holding when we can bring up people like a Jack Simmons or Pat Langlois or something like that. So I don't think he'll be missed. And with Appiah, injury replacement, who never seemed to get any game time, so it was pretty clear, I think, from the beginning. I think he only got the run in Brisbane because Ernie wanted to change things up and you had to give him some opportunity to show that he could do something. And even the goal that he did score wasn't, you know, the biggest thing you've ever seen. So you'd expect that from most people that are at this level. So, yeah, I can't see him really missing much by not being here long term.
Yeah, look, I feel like if I'd been on the field last week, I could have scored a goal. So it's probably not terribly impressive. So in that context, what do we both feel about Roy staying, Luke?
So I know people are very split about this. You know, he's obviously had issues with his temper and being sent off in the past, which, you know, you can't have your star striker missing a third of a season because he karate kicked someone in the head. We need to not have that. We need to have our best players on the field. In saying that, you know, for all the talk about his temper and, you know, all the chances that he's missed in the games that he has played in this season, he is now our outright second highest goal scorer in Jets history. In 34 games, he scored 20 goals. He's only behind King Griff now. And I think if he had been here the full season, if he hadn't missed the first 9 games, I reckon we'd probably see a goal-scoring record for the Jets. He'd probably be pushing Golden Boot as well. And in the A-League, when you have a player who's tried and tested, who's done it consistently, like he's played 4 seasons and scored 39 goals in the league, it's you don't want to be... I'd be very cautious of letting a proven goal scorer go and potentially bringing in a foreigner who, you know, teams have success. We haven't in the past with strikers or with visa players. So for me personally, I would like to see him stay. I think with a proper season under his belt where he hasn't been suspended, he's not missing a third of the season, and hopefully not getting injured for the majority of the season like he did last year, I think with the chances that we've been creating all season, I reckon we'll probably see another double-figure season from him next season.
Mm. Andy, do you agree on Roy? And then talk to me about the Riley McGree speculation, please.
So once again, straight from my notes, Luke has taken pretty much everything I was going to say.
It's so boring when we all agree.
But I think Roy must stay. He owes the club a full uninterrupted season. And especially now that I believe he is in the very late stages of becoming an Australian citizen, if he hasn't already. So therefore, if he is not occupying a foreign spot, then why wouldn't you keep him on? As Luke said, he's proven that he can score, and to come in so late and still have the impact that he has had. Sure, he's missed a few that people would think, you know, is a lot easier to score than it was to miss. But yeah, he owes the club, I think, for keeping with him and saying, you know, sure, you need to go out and perform, but having the consistent team around him for a full preseason and then a full season, I think he has shown that he can score just as many goals and, yeah, as Luke said, take those records. With the Riley stuff, it was announced in the last couple of days on the World Game that Griff is chasing to get Riley back. Obviously, he's sat on the bench for a lot and come on and had an impact in games for Melbourne City when he has come on. But as Griff said in the article that I read, he's just been wasted. You had such a promising season with him when he was at the Jets, and then he's gone to City for whatever reason and pretty much ended up being on the bench. So when he did come to the Jets, I didn't really rate him at first, but then he proved me and I think a lot of other people well and truly wrong. And, yeah, being wasted at City, I think if we could bring him on at least a 2-season deal, be that a loan or a transfer, just so that it's not that flash in the pan season again and we can actually get to build a bit of a team around him as well and go into the future with him. And then if he does get snapped up by someone else, at least, you know, we know that it's because he has delivered for us. So that would be my view on him. I'd welcome him back, no worries, but would want it to be on a fairly permanent basis.
Mm. Well, he went to Melbourne for love, so if his girlfriend has finished her degree or would like to transfer to one of our lovely universities, maybe that would make things more enticing. But yeah, I guess you've got to make these things compatible with life. But yeah, he hasn't seen much game time, and that's a little bit disappointing. Okay, well, let's talk then specifically about the game coming up on the weekend. We've already said that there's going to be no send-off for Cowby and Georgie for that last game. But we do see Vargas back into the squad. And we also have back in the squad, I think importantly, Nigel Bugard is back in. Matt Redenton is back in, and that's at the expense of Jack Simmons, who's going to drop out. Other than that, it's pretty similar to the team that we took to Brisbane last week. Luke, are you surprised at those changes? Do you think bringing Boogs back in is the right idea? Do you think Jack Simmons should have got another run? And Matt Redenton, did you expect to see him having another go before the end of the season?
I think out of all of those, the one that probably shocks me the least is Jack Simmons dropping out. You know, he came on and did really well in the 20-25 minutes that he was on against Brisbane. But I think Sydney, with their squad, with the season they're having yet again, this is probably a game that you don't want to push him too far. Obviously, you got to test him. In reality, it is a nothing game. Sydney will finish second regardless of this result. We'll finish seventh regardless of the result. So in reality, you know, maybe it is a game that he could have played in, given that there's nothing on offer. But I think probably bringing those guys back in, the one I'm probably not so fussed on is Vargas. If he's not going to be here, then, you know, I'd prefer to have players that will be here, or at least are contracted, regardless of where, you know, being a marquee and stuff. I think he hasn't performed, and I think we should be playing the guys who either have been or at least have been performing consistently better than what he has throughout the season.
So, Andy, do you think that Vargas is going to come off the bench or get a start? Do you think it's just going to be a cameo appearance so everyone can clap and wave goodbye?
I think so. I think he'll start and maybe go off at the 70th minute or something like that. And, yeah, it'll be the whole clap him off and straight up the tunnel sort of thing. I would like it to be that he, if he's going to be in the squad, maybe sits on the bench and comes on when, you know, it's decided on what's going to happen in the game, or he comes on and can make the difference. But I think for him, he sure would probably like to say farewell to the fans and whatnot. But overall, I think that if he's not going to be here, as Luke said, we shouldn't really be putting him in just for the sake of it, that, you know, there's other people that could be holding up that spot. I think that Redenton is an interesting one. I would have probably kept him out another week and let Jack Simmons give another go, just to, yeah, have that continuity and play more than one game, have another full week with the senior squad, which I'm sure he has anyway. But, yeah, just to be around and get to experience a home game as well. I think that could do a lot for his confidence and, you know, to really say to him, yes, you are in our plans, but stick with it sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, agreed. I think Redenton's the most surprising one for me, for the back into the squad. I think he'll be on the bench, and we'll be going with Cantor and Stevie in the midfield, but who knows if that's what's actually going to happen.
I think he'll play that role that Canner had in Brisbane, where he'll be on the bench and may not necessarily come on. But, yeah, be around the squad for anything that may change between now and when they've announced the squad.
Yeah, interesting. So, Luke, you mentioned that Sydney already have their spot on the ladder secured. They have had an ACL game just recently. Winning this game changes nothing for them. What do you think they're going to bring in terms of lineup and pace? And, you know, do they even care about this game, or are they just going to be preserving themselves for the finals?
I'm sort of in two frames of mind for this. I don't know who went to China. Did they play in China? I don't know who they played.
Yeah, they were away. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
SIPG.
Yep. Yeah, okay. So they're in Shanghai. So, you know, I don't know who exactly went. I think I saw O'Neill scored. My two thoughts are, first of all, let's rest players because we don't want to get anyone injured or potentially suspended for the semi-final. The other thought is similar to what I thought was probably our strength in our strong run through February, was the fact that it's another game. They have a week off after this. You know, they've got plenty of time to recover. Why not just play your strongest team and everything, and just get through this so you're not stop-start all the time. I tend to think they'll probably rest a few of their key players to preserve them for the final. But, yeah, I think that's what we'll probably see. Not completely second string, but not their strongest lineup either.
Mm. Andy, do you agree? And do you think any Sydney fans are going to turn up for the match, or is this just nothingness to them?
Well, I noticed in the outs that they have, they've got Caceres and Sim Deong as just not selected, not any reason. They've just left them out. So I think I'm not sure they're both in their ACL squad, but that would, if they are, I feel that they're just being rested for, you know, the run into the finals and also the Champions League stuff. With the position locked in, I think when we played them last season, late in the season, and had the 2-1 victory, I feel that that started, they had one win after that or a couple of wins, but it was leading into that time where they just seemed to really drop and weren't the Sydney that were just so clinical with everything. So I think they'll put out a strong squad to try and have that bounce of finish strong in the league, go into the week off, and not be going into the week off on the back of a loss. So I think for the mental strength, then that will be a big thing for them.
Mm, good point. I hadn't thought of if you go start your run into the finals with a loss against a team that didn't even make the finals, that would kind of be a bit of a that would mess with your brain just a little bit. So, yeah, probably they will be wanting to avoid that. In general, boys, are we glad that the season's over? Is it weird to think that this time last year we were already into playing our finals football and now there's nothing here for us? Andy, does it hurt?
It does, but this may sound strange, but I think this season was the season we should have had last year. So if we got the, you know, goals and wins and whatnot that we had last year and maybe scraped into the finals in sixth spot or finished seventh, but with a much better goal difference to previous seasons, then everyone would have been pretty happy. But then finishing so high and getting to the grand final and having such a difference put a way bigger expectation on a team that was majority the same. It hadn't really been massively strengthened. We just obviously had people like Vargas and whatnot back. So, yeah, I think we just, as a fan group, in my opinion, have thought they've gotten to this, you know, second spot and whatnot, and that now that's the expectation all the time. And then we've had a season that is more the season we should have had, and therefore we're a bit more bummed about it because we have much higher expectations now for the team to do a lot better.
Mm, yeah, I guess that can be true. Luke, are you still going to follow the finals? Are you still excited about finals football, even though we're not going to be there?
Not really. It's the same as the FFA Cup. I have no interest in it once the Jets are out, which means I don't really have an interest in the FFA Cup. I think the only reason I'll probably have some interest in it is as long as probably Wellington and Perth are in there, just because I'd like to see someone different win the grand final for a change. I'm hoping for a Perth-Wellington grand final. I don't think it'll happen. I don't know if it's possible. It probably is, but I think specific teams have to win the elimination finals for that to happen. I think, I mean, I'll probably watch the grand final regardless of who's in it, but I don't really have too much of an interest in it, to be honest.
I think that's a good point. It would be nice if we can't be there that someone different might win. I think Wellington would be lovely. But Perth, I think, have earned it this season. And I think copped a lot of shit with people saying, you know, that the premiership doesn't really matter and it's only the championship that matters. And I think it'd be nice to see them take the double.
People always say that crap, though. People always say that crap, though, just to make themselves feel better that they're not winning that trophy this year. It's so annoying. They're like, oh, premiership doesn't matter. It's people only remember who won the grand final. And then you get to the grand final, people lose it, and then they're like, oh, no, the premiership's the one that matters because that means you're better over this entire season, not just one game.
Yeah, like, people can be
jerks. Make up your mind. Make up your mind.
Yeah.
Just on the whole, like, are we glad the season's over and everything?
Mm.
Sort of. I think the biggest problem for me is the fact that it's just sort of staggered along. Ever since we had the split round and international break within 3 weeks in March, the league just lost all momentum and it's just felt like it's just stumbling towards the end of the season. And now we can sort of say, yes, the season's done. Finally, that was rubbish. Forget about it for a while. Wait till next season. So I think for me, I am glad for it to be over, if not because it's felt like it's sort of just dragged on for about a month too long.
Mm, it hasn't really felt like a coherent season. I feel like I haven't seen my football girls in many, many weeks. It's been so long since we've had a home game. So, yeah, I think that's very true. It's been a different kind of season with the scheduling. Let's now then tell me what you think's going to happen points-wise this weekend, boys, and then we'll go on for the rest of the round. Andy, score prediction for us versus Sydney.
I think 2-2. So we'll have a draw, but there will be goals.
2-2 draw, respectable. Lukey, what do you think?
To be honest, I'm going to stick with what I said in the six rounds for the top six special we did, which only lasted 1 week. But I think I'm going to stick with Jets winning 2-1. I've just got a feeling about this week. So hopefully I'm right, and hopefully I don't have the same run of form as I did in half the other games I predicted.
Well, well done for even remembering what you tipped, because I can't even remember. That was way too long ago. I'm going to go Andy's vibe and go with a draw, but a slightly lower scoring draw, a 1-1. So, yeah, that would be respectable, I think, given the current state of affairs. We can't tip Brisbane-Adelaide, which is the first game of the round, because that has already been played. I'm going to tip Adelaide because they won.
Tip Adelaide to win 5-3.
5-3, so specific. And tomorrow night, we've got Melbourne City versus the Central Coast Mariners, City hosting. Andy, what you got there? Is this even a question we need to ask?
I think City will get there, but it will be 3-2.
Ooh, that's a lot of credit for the Mariners. Lukey, you agree?
Next question.
Yeah. The Mariners have had their flash in the pan, right?
I thought that after they played us. And then they did it again last week. So I don't think it's going to be as easy as people would probably think. I have a tipping comp with work that uses the Fox Sports predictor, where you have to actually predict the score, not just the result. It shows you what everyone else is predicting. And the tiny little bit of it says the Mariners. But I don't think that'll be the case. I reckon it'll probably be a draw.
Wow. Everyone's given the Mariners a lot of credit here. I reckon they'll get one cheeky goal, but I think City will get three, so it won't even matter. No more nice things about the Coasties. Wanderers, Saturday evening, so after our game, which is Saturday afternoon, Wanderers will be hosting Melbourne Victory, so another game that probably doesn't really matter. Andy, what you got there?
Is this their first game at Bankwest?
I didn't think they were going there until next season.
Yeah.
I didn't think it.
Didn't look anyone was going there. There's a lot of NRL going on there at the moment with all the teams who have declared it their home ground. So, uncertain.
Yeah. Because I thought the trial.
Until next season.
Give me your tips and I'll Google it quickly.
I think Melbourne Victory will get their 2-0. And, yeah, I think if it was if it was to be at Bankwest, they would probably win. Melbourne Victory would win like 5-0, just because I think that new stadium hype will get to Western Sydney, because they don't seem to be able to cope with stadium changes that well.
Yeah, no, I can confirm it is at ANZ.
Okay. So, yeah, they'll still lose, but it'll only be 2-0.
Lukey, what you got?
I've got Victory winning. They've been very disappointing the last few weeks, Victory. For whatever reason, they just can't score or struggle to score. They just seem to look like they want to walk it into the net. But I think Victory will win. I think Wanderers will probably be as terrible as they were last week against the Mariners.
Yeah, I think Victory can't move on the ladder with this result.
No, they're third.
But I think because they're like massive dickheads, they're going to want to win at any cost. I don't think they'll be doing the preserve against injuries, just because, you know, they've got a lot of pride. So I think Victory are going to go hard, and I think they'll probably take Wanderers quite easily. I'm going to go 2-0. And this is the fun one for the round, I think. Perth Glory are hosting Wellington Phoenix, the distance derby. And that is Sunday night, 7 p.m. Nice watchable time here. Luke, what do you got?
Well, this is Perth's first game at home since they officially got the premiership. I don't know if they'll be presented. They were presented with this the other week, weren't they?
Yeah, so they set up the table 15 minutes before they'd actually won the goddamn match.
Yeah, I turned it off before full time. I think I got to 93-55 or something like that. I was like, I'm not watching them give out a trophy. I do remember that now. I think Perth will probably win. I want to say I'll say 1-0.
Andy,
when we were talking about just before the potential of Perth versus Wellington and a distance derby grand final, that was all I was thinking about, and how horrendous it would be to have a week of distant derby grand final. So I think for this game, we will see Perth Glory just go out and absolutely make a statement, and I think it'll be a 5-2 win to the Glory.
Interesting. I think Glory's definitely going to win, but I think Phoenix will put on a good effort, and I'm going to go 2-1 for Glory. Okay, so while we're talking about tips, let's talk about our Jetstream tipping competition. So we decided to put everyone to the test this year, and we all kind of shout these things out on the pod each week, and no one keeps score. This year we did keep score. I'm not sure how seriously people took it, but we have a showdown in this final round for first place. Joel Goodsir, who I think has at least been on one pod this year, been spending all his time tipping. He is on 214 points in the lead. Grant Black, who definitely has been on a pod this year, is on 213 points. And no one else is even anywhere near close. Luke is the next one behind on 182, and I do not think there is 30, 40-odd points available in the round, Luke, so too bad. I'm on 171 after Luke, which I'm just going to say I'm the winning girl, so I'm running my own race here. I'm the only girl, but I'm the winning girl. So it'll be interesting to see who comes out ahead, Joel or Grant. For those of you who have been listening to this the entire season, we did have an unattended account where Grant Black accidentally registered and then forgot his password, and the system was set up to default to the away teams. For a while, there were a few people getting done by that unattended bot. Dave has just scraped past a couple of points ahead of the unattended account, so well done there, Dave. Hopefully it doesn't nip you in this last round. But Anthony is solidly in last place, beat even by the player who wasn't playing. So better luck next year. We have a few other tipping comps and fantasy leagues that the Jetstream is involved in. Luke, you're still playing the A-League Fantasy. You soldiered on through the Fox's Nightmare interface. Do you have the table there? Do you want to tell me how that's going?
I do. So we had the two. We had the head-to-head and the Classic League. The head-to-head one was decided weeks ago. I believe it was A-League FC by Craig Thompson, that one.
Mm-hmm.
In the Classic League, going into round 27, A-League FC by Craig Thompson is in first place with 1690 points. Second place is currently Roy O'Donovan School of Karate.
Oh, that's
run
you.
That's me.
Yay!
Only 61 points behind. So close. And then Alpha
is
FC.
Is there 61 points achievable in this round? Can you take him?
I might get 61 points for myself. Will I make 61 points unless Honda scores 5 goals and a lot of other things go my way? Probably not. But if I could hold on to the second, I would enjoy that. In third place is Alpha FC, Ed Greenhall. He's only 9 points behind me. And Jetapool FC by David Keating is on 1612. So there's a few probably in reach of that second place. So hopefully I am able to hold on.
Dave has gotten so addicted to this whole fantasy thing that he's also doing super coach for the NRL, which I understand he knows nothing about that sport. and he's doing the super coach fantasy league just for fun. Shout out to Matt, who I think is in eighth or so place. And Bodes. Bodes is in sixth. Oh, and that's Peter there in fifth. So the Jetstream has represented quite well in the top 10. Glenn's just outside of the top 10. So I hope everyone enjoyed doing that, and well done to everyone who got through that clunky interface, because that was not cool. We also have the EPL leagues still going, and I'll just take the opportunity to update you all on those. In our Classic League, we've got Rama's Llamas is leading, which is Shane Rama. Well done, mate. Out the front by quite a bit, I think. Danger Ozzlespill, I just love that for the name, which I think is our very own Matt, is coming second. Lukey, you're back in 10th. I'm in 21st. But I would again like to point out, pretty sure highest achieving girl, because I think I'm the only one looking at the names on the list. Andy, you're not playing, are you?
No.
That's all right. We'll get you next year. We'll get you addicted. It's kind of addictive. Dave taught me this year while we were on our away trip, and now I can't stop. And the EPL one, much easier than the A-League one. In our head-to-head, the average, I don't know who's running that, is winning. And the Bing Chickens are coming second, and that's James. James Dorse. And congrats, James, who just got engaged just recently. Our highest achieving jet streamer on there is Glenn, Carhold FC. And Luke, you're coming 10th. That's quite consistent. Yeah,
so the average is literally the average score out of all 6 million plus players each week.
Oh, that's not an actual team.
No, it's not an actual team. It's just whatever the average point score is, it cuts it down the middle, and that's what the average gets.
Oh, that's why they're doing so well.
Yeah, because we're not really good.
Oh, wow, I get it. How long? Wow, I should have known that. How redonkulous.
So, because we had an uneven number in that head-to-head comp, it just chucked an average in.
Otherwise, there would have been buys.
Yeah.
I see. Oh, well, I feel less sad that I can't beat them now. My aim for this season, because I am new at this, was just to be above the average each week, and that definitely has not happened much.
No, it's
but I'm getting the hang of it.
It's not good. Yeah, that's the main thing.
I didn't understand the special cards you can play with the wild card, and I did not know how to strategically use those this year, but next year, I've been learning this year. You boys watch out next year. Well done, James, then, who's the actual winner. But that's a little bit sad that none of us could get above that average. Yeah. Well done, Yui. But things could still change. There's plenty of time left there. I've lost track talking about all these tipping things. Any news I've missed, boys, that you would like to add before we go? Yep. I will take the silence as read. Well, all that's left to say then is for our last preview of the season, thank you so much for soldiering through this rather forgettable season with us. Get on the social medias. We're at Jetstream Newey on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can tell us your answer to the opening question, what you think about the players who are leaving, what you think is going to happen in this game, and whether you agree or disagree with all the things that we've said. We love to hear those things, particularly because this was a rather agreeable pod. We're all singing from the same song sheet. Very little. The Marvel part was probably the most controversial. Yeah. Okay.
It's funny because it's true.
And if you're listening, you probably know where to find us. But to make it easy, go ahead and subscribe on all the good app podcast apps. Good talking there, Emma. All the good podcast apps you should be able to find Jetstream Newey. And I guess all that remains to say is for one last time, go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Waiting in anticipation for a Simpsons joke that never ever comes.
I'm down, Benjamin!